What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Guys, my name is Ryan.
Hey guys, my name is Steve. You're listening to 60 Cycle Hum, the guitar buying, selling, trading, fixing, modding, breaking, reviewing, playing podcast.
Yeehaw!
Woo!
Did I do a country accent?
No, but I just kind of ended up going there because when my accent gets lazy, it automatically goes country.
Okay.
It's a family thing. You wouldn't understand.
I wouldn't understand your deep, deep country roots.
Yeah.
I've mentioned that I'm related to Roy Rogers, right?
Yes, you have.
Okay. not that that's country.
Speaking of
Western
country,
music.
Man. I watched the CMA Award preview like a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And they had Darius Rucker.
I don't know who these.
Yeah, you know who Darius Rucker is because he's the black dude from Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, okay, yeah, Hootie.
And now he's a country singer as you know his own name, Darius Rucker. A guy who I can only describe as some generic white country dude because I didn't know who he was.
Uh huh.
And he just looks like every dude in country music.
Okay.
Like, there's like.
What does that look like? I'm imagining cowboy hat.
No, like, no. The cowboy hats are out.
They're done?
No one in country music wears cowboy hats
anymore.
Oh, that's
too bad. Goatee?
I think he might have had a goatee.
Okay.
Kind of like cleanish cut hair, wearing like a plaid shirt and some jeans kind of a deal.
What kind of shoes?
Like, I don't know, but it was just very generic looking white dude singing
country
music.
At his shoes.
No. They might have shown him. But they were doing like an Elvis tribute. And it's just one of those things where it's like, these guys don't have Elvis's voice, which is so iconic.
Yeah.
They don't have Elvis's swagger. Basically, it was like the worst tribute to Elvis I've ever seen.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because it just felt really contrived. As much as I hate to say that any song is untouchable,
uh-huh.
I feel like Elvis is an artist where, unless you find a way to really make it your own,
you've either got to make it or your own, or you got to nail it.
Yeah, and nailing it's super hard, so you should probably just try to make it your own.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I saw that, and I was just kind of like, ugh. And it was gross, and I felt gross. And I complained about it on Twitter.
Cool
and
story,
on Facebook.
Steve.
Thanks.
Well, now we know why Steve was in a country state of mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that the song, Country State of Mind?
I believe it's New York State of Mind.
Oh.
I don't know. Is there a country state of mind?
I feel like it should be like a John Denver song or something.
Wait, wasn't that John Denver say? I'm not going to say anything.
We are completely out of it tonight.
I'm super tired all of a sudden.
Yeah.
John Denver did...
Country Roads.
Country Roads. No, did he do Country Roads?
Yeah.
I was thinking, thank God I'm a country boy. Wasn't that John Denver?
I don't think so.
Oh, man. I don't know.
You know what John Denver did?
What?
He crashed a plane into the ocean.
Was it? I don't think it was into the ocean.
Really? I thought he crashed into the ocean.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't.
Okay.
Into the ocean.
Anyways.
That's bad. You're a terrible human being.
It was long enough ago. Is it really too soon for that?
It's not that it's too soon. It's just like, hey, you want to know this really cool fact about John Denver? He's dead.
Well, we're tired. I feel like being an asshole. So
yeah, I guess
that's,
so.
That's where I went. Sorry, anyone who's listening who was a close friend with John Denver. I didn't mean anything by it. He made some really wonderful music. And, yeah, too bad about the plane business. You know, I've decided that if I'm ever a big rock star, I'm just going to take buses and trains because it seems like planes are are poisonous.
Planes are bad news, man.
Planes are poisonous once you're a famous musician, you know, especially if you fly it yourself or the
person. He did do Thank God I'm a Country Boy.
Did he?
Yep.
There you go.
Nailed it.
Now, did he crash in the ocean is what I want to know.
I'm looking for that right now. Post hummus. He did crash his plane in Pacific Grove, California.
Okay, so not in the ocean.
Well, that was like the city, which is on the coast. So it is very much possible that he did crash into the ocean. Single fatality plane crash. Come on now. I don't care about that. And yeah. And here we go. Earth, something about Earth Day. And
this is incredible listening.
I don't know, man. They don't.
Our audience is going to love this.
Wikipedia is not good at giving information you want. About.
Another classic bit from 60 Cycle Hum.
He crashed into Monterey Bay.
Yes.
So he didn't crash into the ocean. He crashed into the bay.
Oh, come on. You're gonna hold me on a technicality? Woo! You're going to hold me on that. Well, anyways. If you want to hang out with John Denver's ghost, you're going to need a boat or a submarine.
Or just go to the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
He didn't crash into the aquarium.
Hey, it's all connected. It's all. Can ghosts travel via water, like to anything?
I've always been under the impression that ghosts are pretty locked to the location where they died.
Like within like a few, like 100 feet.
I don't know what their range is. I think it's like structure based. Like if a ghost died in a building, then anywhere in that building.
Right. So if a ghost died in the ocean, well, ghost.
I don't know. Probably within you know what it probably is? Within the proximity of where the plane was. That's where his ghost is.
Right. But what proximity? I mean.
I'm saying he can't leave the plane. The plane was a structure.
Oh, okay.
So wherever the plane was, there's probably like a.
What if they retrieved the plane?
Yeah, maybe his body, his ghost body could be connected to the actual physical object, which is probably in a junkyard now, so it could be all over the place. There's a lot of problems with ghosts.
Yeah. But reason I'm asking about proximity is, you know, if, like, right now where we are, like, I am within proximity to your bathroom, right? Because of, you know, like, that's just the small space that we're in.
Sure, sure.
However, if you lived, you know, in a planet orbiting like Proxima Centauri, which I think is like the next closest star, right?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Then basically, like, I am within proximity of Pluto.
Your ghost is not going to make it to Pluto,
right? But the proximity rule has to be more than just say, "Well, it's within proximity."
I think ghosts are they become attached to man-made structures.
Okay.
So if you're a ghost in a graveyard, you're attached to your plot of the grave.
What do you think about the NASA gas? Do you know about the NASA gas?
No.
They are ghosts that protect NASA astronauts from people who try to beat up.
Oh, this is from McNinja. Okay, this is from a webcomic I used to read. I'm assuming Steve still reads.
Yeah. It's so crazy. I love it.
Dr. McNinja, he's a doctor and a ninja, which is a conflict of interest because doctors are supposed to heal people and ninjas are supposed to kill people.
Yeah.
So that's the full description of the character.
Pretty much. All right,
I love our topic arc here.
You got anything new to talk about, Ryan?
On a side note, my sister just texted me and said, "Well, the doctor loved you," and I'm not going to explain why the doctor loved me.
Loved you?
He loved me. Okay. Yes. New things. I have to look at my clipboard. Oh, I bought a new DOD pedal because I have a DOD addiction that will never stop. Apparently,
in the UK, for those of you who are UK listeners, this is the brand often referred to as Dodd.
Do they really call it Dodd?
I don't know. The gear nerds guy or guitar nerds guys always call him Dodd.
That's awful. This DOD.
No, it's Dodd.
I wonder what DOD stands for.
That probably doesn't stand for anything, which is why they think it's Dodd.
Devices on demand.
Dodd.
Yeah, that's probably what it means, right? Devices on demand.
Sure. Let's go with that.
Destructive orange dudes is what it stands for. I have 5 DOD pedals in this room, right?
Vibrothang?
Yeah, I've got the Bifet preamp. I've got the 250. And I have the grunge pedal over there.
So, wow, yeah, you weren't 5. Even close, dude. DOD stands for David Oreste Di Francesco.
Where's the F? It should be DODF.
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 DODF. Yeah.
But yeah, I've got a soft spot in my heart for these DOD pedals. And every time I see one, I'm like, yeah, do I need that? And most of them are pretty out there and awful.
Yeah.
But there's a couple winners. The DOD 250 is a classic.
Mm-hmm.
It's as far as I'm concerned, it's a pedal everyone should see if they need, like, try it out. Right. The Bifet FX10, the boost pedal, it's a beautiful, brilliant boost pedal. It takes up a lot of pedal board space, but it is the boost that I want to use all the time, basically.
Right.
The Vibro thing is a crazy vibe / tremolo combined pedal. Really weird, really unusual sound. You can't get it anywhere else. And then I got this Flashback Fuzz this past week and a half or so ago, something like that.
Yeah.
It is interesting. I think they were trying to go for like a 60s fuzz kind of sound with it. But I think all they did is they took their normal fuzz pedal, which is probably like their classic fuzz or their other fuzz pedal. I forget the name of it. And they put some kind of filter on it.
Mm.
So it's got kind of like a cocked wah sort of sound, like a fixed wah. And then other than that, it's just not that great. I'm not super stoked on it. I haven't had a chance to play it out yet to get it with a band, but I'm not stoked on it. I only paid like $23 for it, I think. I bought it from Chicago Music Exchange through Reverb.
So you bought it from Chicago Music Exchange from Chicago Music Exchange.
Exactly. They run Reverb.
Right.
But I that was the seller on Reverb. So they're used market in their shop, basically. Yeah, I don't know. Unless I bring it into a live setting and I'm like, wow, this thing really just hits the mix perfectly and sounds great. It doesn't sound great. It doesn't sound great at home, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Are you just saying things to watch your signal?
No, I'm actually kind of confused as to why there's no signal on the bottom of the GarageBand right now.
It just doesn't display.
Oh, so, well, usually it displays something.
What I watch is this little guy right here.
Yeah, I can't see it. It's too small.
No, you're there. Don't worry about it.
Okay. I don't really care about my signal. I just want to make sure that we didn't just talk for 20 minutes.
No, we're there.
For nothing.
I actually hear you louder in my headphones than I hear myself.
Good.
This is, again, another killer bit from 60 Cycle Hum. Bits like these, you can't buy these ideas.
You cannot buy these ideas.
Oh, do you guys like the bit where Ryan and Steve talk about the level that they're recording at? Yeah, that's another classic bit, right? So, yeah, I don't think this thing's going to stick around very long. It's probably going to be tough to sell. I'll probably have to put it up locally for $20 and hope someone's curious about it. But I guess it was worth trying it. I always wanted to scratch that itch because I've been looking at him for a while. It's themed to, you know, be a 60s style fuzz.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe it will kind of hit this like psychedelic kind of sound. And I'm just not hearing it here at home, you know. It needs the right song.
There are certain pedals that I feel like sound bad at home and only sound good live.
Yeah.
But generally, my experience with fuzzes has been typically actually more the opposite. But hey, who knows?
Yeah, usually they sound great at home, and then you can't get them to hit the mix live. This one doesn't sound great at home. Maybe it will hit the mix live. So, I don't know. I'll keep you guys updated. I'll probably do some kind of little demo with it sometime in the future.
Yeah.
I think that's it for me. I don't have anything else new. Do you have anything new?
I don't have anything new unless... I'll talk about that next time.
Okay. I wonder what it is.
It's not probably not gear related, so yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, let's hit some ads then. Oh, you know what we need to talk about? We need to talk about the fact that Richard Morris upgraded himself from best friend status to super best friend status.
Yeah, welcome to the inner circle, Richard Morris.
Yeah, he updated his contribution level through our crowdfunding from the $5 to the $10 level. We super appreciate it, Richard. Sorry we forgot to mention it on the last episode. But we
You know, if you wouldn't have said anything, he would just think that this was the first episode we recorded since he did that.
He would know that that's not true.
Yeah. Well,
he's on the inner circle.
The inner circle.
He knows all our deepest, darkest secrets. He knows when we have our secret meetings. He knows all the awful things we say about other Facebook users.
And pedal builders.
And pedal builders.
And guitar builders.
We just can't say enough bad things about people.
And salvage custom shop.
And we put it all in the inner circle.
Inner circle.
So if you want to have unprecedented access to all of the secret dark information in the inner circle, then all you have to do is send us $10. It's that easy.
A month.
Once you're done, you're out.
For the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life.
Or until you die.
And what does that get you, Steve, when you get into the inner circle?
Well, it gets you podcast episodes.
Up to 2.5 hours early. There was one time right before I went on vacation where I uploaded like 3 episodes.
On like a Friday. It was great.
2 weeks in advance.
Yeah.
And so everyone in the inner circle is like, it was great, but then it felt like we didn't have new episodes for 2 weeks. but yeah, I usually edit the episodes like Sunday night and then post them like 2 hours before midnight.
I get this text at 9 p.m. pretty much every Sunday. Hey, episode's ready for you to write the description for because I don't know how to write in English.
It's not that I don't know how to write. It's that I suck at it. And you catch the errors and you do all the technical... Not technical, yeah. But you're a great details guy.
Yeah, for what it's worth, like the last couple... Like the reverb shootout mini-sode, all I did is go in and like fix grammar.
Really?
I didn't change anything in there. I just adjusted grammar and did some capitalization. I say grammar, like what I mean is I did punctuation.
Thank you,
I changed
Steve.
Punctuation. That's it.
You complete me, Steve.
Yeah. Now draw me some pictures.
Yeah, if you join the inner circle, you also get lined up with any of the merch that we make. We have t-shirts right now.
Yeah.
I think what we're going to do is when you join the inner circle after your first payment clears, then we'll send you a shirt.
Yeah.
Just so we make sure that you don't quit after you get that sweet, sweet shirt.
Boom.
Yeah.
You also get kind of sneak peeks of things that we're looking at. For example, actually, I think shortly after this episode airs, we're going to be dropping some pedal demos for pedals that no one knows about.
The secret,
sort of, maybe.
Secret secrets. Well, in this very episode, we're going to be demoing one of them.
Right, but if you're in the inner circle, you knew about this 2 weeks ago.
And we post little previews and production shots of making the demos. And, you know, we actually ask questions like, hey, should we do this? Should we do that?
Yeah.
You know, you get to be part of the democracy of the group. We're talking about this way too long.
Yeah. Let's just put it this way. If you were in the inner circle, thank you for stopping us from creating a 60 cycle hum labeled toothpicks, because turns out that laser cutting toothpicks is way more expensive than we thought it would be.
Oh, totally, totally. Especially when you're making them out of tone wood.
Yeah, those Bubinga toothpicks really add up.
But, you know, we are moving forward on the 60 cycle hum themed condoms. So those will be out soon. Thank you for the idea. Who gave us that idea on the inner circle?
I'd rather not say.
Okay, we'll keep it private. They're good size. We're going for the big ones. So it would be flattering.
All right, let's get to the ads.
Oh, this is what you get on our second episode of the night. We get slap happy and stupid.
You want to talk about this fuzz?
Are
we
going
to do that first?
I do want to talk about this fuzz. I found this on eBay today, and I think it's gosh darn beautiful. I think it's just phenomenal. Let me read the description here. Zombie Fuzz, boutique custom fuzz guitar pedal. Did I say boutique right?
I believe so.
Is it boutique or boutique?
I'm pretty sure it's boutique.
Okay. Boutique custom
fuzz. You know who has a boutique?
Who?
Minnie Mouse.
Does she?
Yeah, though I think she might call it a boutique because she makes boutique hair bows.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Bows. Like.
Oh, okay.
I just made a hand gesture.
Is that like a thing at Disneyland or something? Or
nah, it's a cartoon.
Oh.
I'm just being a father of two girls.
Oh, okay. I've got a son, here. So I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Zombie Fuzz, boutique custom fuzz guitar pedal, Halloween casing, Germanium Z-Vex, US, $152, 18 days and 21 hours left on the auction.
That's a long auction.
I know, right? Well, this is a very special looking pedal. It looks like a block of zombie flesh. It's got eyeballs for knobs and then other chunks of meat for knobs. It's got these rad little monster teeth sticking out around.
How do you stomp on that?
There's enough room. It's the little teeth are sticking out around the foot switch. This thing looks incredible to me.
It looks incredible. Incredibly gross.
I would totally put this on my board. 100%.
Well, it's only at $152, so you should jump.
Yeah, but there's like a month left on the auction.
No, 18 days, 21 hours.
There's one view per hour. People are looking at this thing.
That's not a lot of views.
Really?
Yeah, not for eBay.
That's 24 views a day, man.
Yeah, it's not a lot of views.
It's got 18 days to go.
Yeah. So okay. That means, what, like 500 people are going to see this thing?
Man, this
That's
thing,
not very many.
This thing's so great. I love it so much.
It's gross.
I have no idea if I would even want the sound of this thing. I don't know anything about
it. It's a fuzz factory.
Is it a fuzz factory? It says it's a Germanium Z-Vex.
Oh, I don't know. I thought it was a fuzz factory.
It might be a fuzz
maybe
factory.
I'm not. I thought the fuzz factory
had six knobs. It says five.
I don't know, man.
Oh, it looks so good.
Fuzz Factory has five knobs.
You got to get on our Facebook group or our Instagram to see this.
Or click on the link at the bottom of the...
Oh, yeah. The description.
Episode description.
Yeah, Steve is doing imager links now for the ads, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, check out the picture of this thing. It is like an 80s... horror movie masterpiece. It looks like, you know, like the Toxic Avenger's back.
It does.
You know, that just destroyed, you know, eighth degree burn, you know, like melted flesh.
Well, it's also just great because the eyes are like popping out.
Yeah. Oh, I love it so much. I really love this pedal. What I want is to have someone do the same exact thing to like a pedal that I know I'm going to use all the time. Like if I had a DOD 250 that was themed this way with like two eyeballs for knobs.
Right.
Oh man, I would be so happy. It's so great. I'm a big fan. And $152. Hopefully it kind of stays around that price, because that's a great price for this thing. But you know, it should probably go for a little bit more. Man, I'm in love with it. I'm going to be thinking about that for the next 18 days, and maybe I'll pull the trigger at some point.
There you go.
I'll look up demos to see what it sounds like and then make the decision, you know? Z-Vex makes some great stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no problem with Z-Vex. Do you want to pull up the next one?
I want to Killer All Parts Tele. Trades? $600.
Is this the one for the neck or the one for the whole thing?
This is for the whole thing. Here, we have a great solid gigging parts telly that needs nothing but huge hands. Nothing but... Nothing but top end here, and it shows on how it plays and sounds. All parts tele, alder body, maple neck pickguard, and electro socket. Seymour Duncan, L. Nickel Pro Tele pickups, CTS pots, Joe Barden bridge with compensated saddles, Graftech Tusk XL nut, and Grover vintage tuners. Now back to the neck. It's huge. If you have small hands, you probably don't want this. I would just swap the neck out for a smaller one. By the way, no Mighty Might. Must be Fender All Parts, Music Craft, or Warmoth. Oh, how convenient. Here's another ad. Trade my All Parts Tele neck for yours. I have a huge maple All Parts 50 style Tele neck. Plays great and has a tusk nut, 10 inch radius. I have short, fat hands, and I'm having a time negotiating around the neck of this thing. Looking for the same, but a bit smaller for an even trade. Really looking for All Parts only. So this guy is willing to either sell slash trade his entire guitar or just the neck.
That's a tough trade.
Whole thing or the neck?
Either, really. You got to find someone who's like, oh, I'm so sick of my Telecaster that is this exact value that has a neck that's too small.
Right.
I want a neck that's bigger, but a guitar that's the same value and same style.
You know what would be actually, if this was local, I might be tempted to do it, but the reality is that the piece that I have, I feel like it needs to be kept together. That's gross, dude.
Putting my feet up.
Is the that Squire Bullet 1 that I have.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a tiny Tele neck.
That's true.
It probably is too tiny if you have fat hands, really, to negotiate. It'd be like, I wouldn't want to like part that thing out. Like, you got to have the whole bullet package.
Yeah, totally.
Even though that guitar, like, doesn't really have much in the way of selling value. Like, you just got to keep that whole thing together.
Yeah, you can't split that thing up, man. This guy's it's a complete package, you know.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, maybe the guy's short on cash or whatever, but I feel like
what it is that he made a mistake on the neck that he ordered, and he's trying to fix it through a trade.
Right, and I understand trying to fix a mistake, but it's like I would just probably just try to focus on ditching the neck alone.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting some, a little bit of cash or whatever, you know, say you get, I don't know, 60, 70% of what you put into it back. And then you only need to get the next 30, 40% to buy a new one. And yeah, you're going to take that loss, but
that
sucks to suck.
That's, exactly what's going on here is he needs to take a loss on this. He ordered a neck that is not compatible with his playing style, obviously. And he just needs to take a loss by selling it used and buying the neck that he wants, because he's never going to find someone who is going to line up for this exact trade that he's proposing.
The trade's hard. I mean, I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but it's tough.
You would need to hit a national market to find someone to trade with that. And then you're going to have to pay shipping. So then you're taking a loss anyways. Right. Because you're just not going to find that exact trade locally. It's not going to happen on Craigslist. That's too specific.
Maybe I mentioned that those were sent by David Hill.
Oh, I don't know if you did, but thank you, David Hill.
Yeah.
For sending us these matching ads. Yeah, totally, totally not the way to do things. Okay, last ad. Let's find it.
I found it.
You found it. I forget who posted this.
Boy. This is a 99 Gibson Les Paul Standard Custom Shop in Metal Flake Red. They're asking $2,900. Pretty much everything about this is normal.
Yeah.
There's nothing really weird here. There's nothing that we have to say about it. It's actually on the light side, as far as I can tell, which is super cool.
As far as the price goes?
Well, I'm saying it's on the light side as far as weight, which is like a desirable thing. It is on a guitar stand in the photo on the little jacuzzi pool divider.
Yeah, the part that separates a jacuzzi from the pool and the water flows out of the jacuzzi into the pool.
In fact, the water is flowing in this picture.
Yeah, underneath the guitar. And it looks like the guitar stand kind of just barely fits on this surface. This just grabbed our eye because it's just a crappy way to sell your guitar is by putting it in compromising positions and then taking photos of it and posting them up. And there's a bunch more photos on this ad of it around the pool, like laying on the tile around the pool. You know, a bunch of really awful compromising situations where it's like, why are you trying to scare people into buying this guitar?
Right.
Like, you know, buy it's almost like a threat to this guitar. Like, buy this guitar or I'm going to drown it.
Oh, you my know? Gosh. It's funny because, especially with pretty much everything Gibson or anything with an angled headstock,
yeah,
you always hear like people freak out like, oh, you put your Les Paul on the ground. Oh, dude, you're just asking for a broken headstock. Which I get, but it's also like if you lay it down on the ground, like the headstock should be able to support its
right,
own
right.
weight.
Yeah.
And as long
just
as you're not an idiot it. Who steps on their guitar, I mean, you know, you're not going to James Duke a guitar. You're not going to James Duke a Gibson Les Paul. You got to do that with a Fender.
What is the James Duke?
It's where you stand on your guitar.
Oh, okay.
That whole trend that was like
yeah.
a thing like a year ago.
Yeah, if you do that with your SG, you're going to snap the headstock.
Which, you know, that used to be called James Duking, but pretty recently I saw a picture of James Duke Kyle Smithing
yeah.
his Elliott, I think it's an Elliott 357.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, you know, if there's no sky, then it's not a Kyle Smithing, though.
Was there no sky in that?
Yeah, it was inside.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, but he was still holding up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We're very proud. It almost feels like Kyle Smithing is becoming bigger than the podcast. You know, Kyle Smith is a listener of the show, and he pioneered a style of photographing new gear where basically you go outside and you hold it up in the sky, in front of the sky, and you take a picture, and then you hashtag Kyle Smith it.
Yeah,
you know, Kyle Smithing. And so it's just sweeping the internet. Everyone's doing it. You get on Instagram.
Everybody
is Kyle Smithing. It's the latest craze. And now even celebrity guitarists like James Duke are doing it.
Yeah. Because everyone knows who he is.
Well, a ton of people do.
I think a lot of our listeners
in the praise and worship community yeah. know who he is. I actually am not super familiar with him.
He's
I know he's kind of like a gunslinger.
Yeah, he's a gunslinger. He's been the guitarist for a bunch of different guys.
Yeah.
In the church, in like the Christian music scene.
So anyways, Kyle Smithing this Les Paul would be way more appropriate than putting it above flowing water in between two big bodies of flowing water
yeah.
where bad things could happen if a breeze came through, you know? Like these stands, you know, they hold a guitar, but I wouldn't trust them next to a pool. I barely trust them on the carpet, you know? I've seen guitars fall out of these stands.
Yeah.
It's just your you know, basic stage stand or whatever. But it's just, why do this? Your pool isn't so exciting that it adds value to the picture, you know? No one says like, oh, I wonder how this guitar will look by a pool. I wish there was a picture of it by a pool.
Oh, no, they're looking at it and they're thinking very punnily to themselves, hey, check out my super pool picture.
Oh, my gosh.
This guitar is so pool.
Steve. It hurts it so bad. Knock it off.
All right. You ready to get to the topic?
Yeah, I guess so. I just wish I had more bad things to say about this ad. Just don't do this, guys.
You know, it's...
Take normal pictures of your guitars for your ads.
Yeah.
That's all.
Man, I got the sneezes.
So anyways, I feel weird talking about this because... At the moment of recording this episode, this pedal still is not announced, and no one's supposed to know about it. But we're allowed to record an episode about it because it's going to be announced day that the episode comes out.
Yeah, something like that.
Either day of or day after. So if it gets announced day after, anyone listening to the episode, secret sneak peek.
Yeah.
You're one of the chosen few who gets to know about this pedal, and what we're talking about here is the Sacred Cow by Mojo Hand.
Yeah, Mojo Hand Effects. Sacred Cow Overdrive.
Yeah. And to let you know what style of overdrive this is, the case is gold.
Yes.
And it's got these brown knobs with little pointers on it.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
It means it is a cow style overdrive.
Yeah, it's the style of a cow. It's got a picture of a cow on it with, you know, like the divisions of the different cuts of meat on it. It's got a volume, a gain, a tone, and a little switch that goes from fatty to lean.
Yeah.
It's
a little bass boost.
Yeah, it's a Klon clone, right?
Well, I guess.
Yeah, that's basically what we're looking at here, is a Klon clone from Mojo Hand Effects.
And of course, you know, the name Sacred Cow is playing on the idea that the Klon is this super incredible pedal, and, you know, it's...
You know, the originals go for thousands of dollars.
Thousands of dollars, and it's the Sacred Cow pedal, like, oh... And, you know, people have gotten sued over using them or making them or whatever. And now there's, you know, with EHX releasing the Soul Food, it's just become a free-for-all on the clone market.
Right, right.
And so this is just kind of poking fun at all of that with saying, like, oh, here's your Sacred Cow. Like, look, it's just a pedal.
I really enjoy... that Mojo Hand has that kind of lightheartedness towards this.
Yeah.
They're not taking it over the top seriously. They're not trying to do a graphic treatment that is like, oh, here's your Klon, but it's not. It's ours. This is like, here's the Klon style pedal, but, you know, we understand that there's already a bunch of them out, so we're doing our own kind of treatment with it. And, you know, the look is still there. There's still, you know, the gold case.
Yeah.
And there's still the knobs that are pretty specific to Klons. They get used on other pedals.
It's also funny too, because pretty much all of the other Klon clones, but the ones that are like obviously clones, they use some riff on like a Centaur, whether you know, it's some kind of like half man, half horse, half man, half goat.
Yeah.
Half, you know, half man, half other.
Like the pony boy.
Just different kinds of like centaur-ish references.
Or like the centaur picture on the Klon, it's like shooting a bow and arrow, right?
Right.
And then you have the archer from J-Rocket. Exactly. This is just a cow.
Yeah, this is the old school cuts of meat cow poster.
I really like the graphic style on this. Yeah. Mojo Hand has always done really great graphics on their pedals. I really like how simplistic this one is. And then you just get the little hand graphic in the lower corner. Yeah.
And you know what they say? If you can't play good, at least look good.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a pause break so we can get everything powered up here. And then we'll do a little playthrough of this thing.
Woohoo!
All right, so we're set up with the Princeton Reverb with an SM57 and an SM58 miking it. I've got my my Strat here with the McNelly pickups. I got it right this time, didn't I?
Yes.
Okay.
Unlike last week.
I know. With the McNelly pickups, I've got it on the bridge right now. I've got everything set to noon on the Sacred Cow. This has the fat and lean switch on this. I really doubt that sound difference is going to come through after the bit rate that we do on the podcast.
Right.
So I'm not even going to show that off. I'm going to leave it. Excuse me. I'm going to leave it set to fatty, which is the difference is very subtle, but I think it's one of those things that's very useful if you're switching from humbucker to single coil.
Yeah.
Or if you're like, I just need a little extra something there or not there.
It's the kind of thing that I think it would be really noticeable in like a big live room.
Sure.
It's the kind of thing if you're doing like a, you know, some isolated guitar track recording, it would really make a big difference. But just
it's more
the way that our episodes get compressed, it's probably not going to come through. It's pretty subtle, but not in a way that where it's like, it's not doing anything.
It's definitely just doing something.
It's just maybe not something that we're going to be able to pick up That's going to be, well, I mean, the mics are going to pick it up. It just might not be there after all of our compression and everything.
Exactly. It's really one of those, it's one of those frequency changes that you feel more than you hear.
Right.
Is what I'm going to say about it. So I'm just going to leave it set to fatty. I will just go through kind of the range of the settings here. Yeah. Here it is, everything at noon. Oh, let me do a clean signal first. So that's the bridge pickup. Here it is with everything at noon on the Sacred Cow.
That's a guitar.
That's a guitar, and it sounds like a Klon to me.
Yeah.
It's got its own special little flavor, I think. I think it's a little bit... I think I'm going to describe this the way people would critique like wine, you know?
Oh my gosh.
I think it's got kind of like a woody aftertaste, you know? It's got a little bit more of a bark to it. A little bit more of a dry feel, you know?
I feel like it's got a little more of a pronounced mid-range.
Okay.
That I typically hear from like from some of the other Klon style pedals that we've tried.
I mean, so far we've tried the KTR, we've tried the Pony Boy, we've tried the Soul Food that was JHS modded. Right. Is that it?
I guess so.
Yeah, and you know, to be totally honest, all those pedals sound great. They all do it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And this does it a little bit differently too. And you've, as a consumer, you just have to ask yourself, which one does it differently in the way that you want?
Exactly. And, you know, it's the same. Well, yeah, there's a lot of analogies that could be made, but I think you guys get it.
Yeah. And you could totally try them all. You know, buy them all and flip them all or sell them all.
Or just pretend you're a Pokemon master of Klon pedals and you got to catch them all.
Yeah, but I think I'm excited to have this thing around. You have the KTR that you're trying to sell. The other pedals that we have demoed, we've either borrowed or we've had to return them. This, because we're doing the video demo, I get to keep this around. So this is going to be my go-to Klon to use when we need a Klon for demos and stuff. And I'm totally excited because I think it sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like I said, you know, it sounds like a Klon. It just does its own thing. Let's mess with some of the ranges on here. Obviously, at noon, it gave us a little bit of a volume boost here. That's with the gain almost all the way down. So it kind of just gives you a little bit of a volume bump there.
Yeah.
Let's try it with a gain at like, let's say that's like 25%. Okay. So a little bit more grit, a little bit more sustain. A little bit of that sizzle in there. I'll take it all the way up to 50. Definitely more sizzle on that.
Yeah.
You're getting a lot more of that drive there. And usually people don't use Klons much beyond that.
Sure.
It's a light drive. People use it to push their amp into more sustain, into more dirt. Or they use it to stack it with other light drives for a higher gain sound. So let's take this up to 75% now and see what it sounds like. And the tone is still at noon. This is around the territory that I actually like Klons when I've used them.
Right.
Is this territory where you start to get pinch harmonics, even though it's not a lot of gain, but it's a tight, sizzling gain.
Mm-hmm.
You get those easy pinch harmonics with a sound that most people think of as kind of a clean guitar sound.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, you know, and we've said this before when we did the Soul Food versus KTR episode. The whole Klon sound, you know, to my ears is just that, like that amp on the edge of breakup.
Yeah.
But in a box, so you can get that without having to, like, you know, crank your amp.
Yeah, totally. It's a very, people call it a transparent overdrive, this style.
Some people do.
Some people do.
Some people get really mad when you call it a transparent
overdrive. Sure. It definitely does give you an EQ flavor.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a mid-hump. There's other things going on. It's a flavor. This thing gives you a bit of a flavor. It colors your sound is another buzzword.
Yeah, I don't think it's as strong as some other drive pedals, but it's definitely there. And I think because it's not as strong, or because it's not as classically like mid-bumped as a Tube Screamer, then people are automatically like, well, if it's not a Tube Screamer, then it must be transparent.
Yeah. Well, I think the reality of Klons, and part of the reason why they're so popular, they're kind of... Last episode, we covered all those genre pedals.
Right.
Which many of them are over the top.
Sure.
They represent where a lot of us were when we were teenagers, when, you know, guitar pedals were still relatively, you know, new.
Right.
In their concepts.
Well, you know, you're 14, 15, 16 years old, and you're playing through a...
The concepts...
15-watt, 8-inch speaker, so you got to...
You're trying to
something crazy.
You're trying to sound as extreme as you can, and so much gets lost as soon as you are in the mix with other musicians. The advent of Klons coming into popularity shows where people have come as far as what they're listening for and what they expect out of their gear.
Right.
As far as this is a pedal where at home you're going to be like, yeah, what is it really doing? It's a little bit of a boost, and it's a little bit of a mid boost, and a little bit of a like a fizzy grit. It's the kind of pedal that makes all the difference in a live scenario. Like, this is your jump out of the mix box.
Sure.
You know, it's that's really what these things do. I know there's a lot of hype around Klons and Klon clones and whatnot. I know the originals go for a lot of money, and that's part of where maybe some people might have distaste for the concept. I used to, you know, trash talk on, you know, the concept a lot. And then I started using them, and like, I can totally see where the use is for these. It makes you sound the way people expect an electric guitar to sound, basically.
Right.
It's a sound better box, which is what the guys over at GAK said, you know, months ago when I was listening to them. So let's hear it at even higher gain. I'm going to take it all the way up. You know what? This knob... It goes much farther than I thought it would go. It goes past what I thought was going to be 100%.
Huh.
Up to like 120%. So let's try it all the way up.
So are you saying that it goes to 11?
I think it goes to 13 or 14.
Why not just make 10 louder?
I know, right? So let's see what this sounds like with the gain dimed all the way. I think it sounds great at a higher gain level.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
I think that's an awesome sound. A lot of people have always said, like, oh, Klons are not really good as used as an overdrive. You're supposed to use them as a pre-gain boost.
Right.
I think that sounds awesome, man.
Yeah.
I think this is a great sounding Klon when it comes to the higher gain settings on it. I didn't think the KTR, when that was here...
The KTR starts to flub out a bit. When you turn the drive all the way up.
Yeah, I didn't think it was great with the drive higher. The Soul Food, I don't remember. The Pony Boy was good. But I think this one really handles the higher gain settings very well. I really like the EQ kind of territory that this one lives in. Like I said, I'm really excited to keep this one around. Let's put it at a normal setting and experiment with the tone knob a little bit. I'm not going to experiment with the volume knob because... we're miking this, and right. all I'm going to do is overdrive the mics at some point or turn it down to where it's quiet. So who cares, right?
Don't do that.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. And also, my baby just came in and he's sleeping, and I don't want to wake him, even though I'm risking that.
Yeah, even though the neighbors just called the cops.
With every note I play, I'm risking my 1-year-old baby waking up. Yeah,
you're risking your wife murdering you tonight in your sleep.
My wife will choke me out with a pillow tonight if that happens. So let's go through the tone stack here, and then I'll call it quits on this for right now. But you'll see more variation in the video, obviously, which played before the sound clip if you're watching the video. All right, here we go. Here it is with the tone at noon. Bridge pickup on the Strat, which is a humbucker by McNelly. That was awful. Not playing. Okay, I'm going to take the tone all the way rolled back. So pretty dark.
Uh-huh.
Let's take it all the way bright. Really bright.
Yeah.
And that's pretty normal for
Quans. This type of pedal, you don't really have a tone knob as much as you have like a treble boost.
Sure.
Knob. It's in fact, I think on the KTR it is labeled, and on the Centaur, as a treble knob.
Oh, okay.
Not actually as a tone knob.
Yeah, I think it sounds great right at noon, but then it's the sort of thing where, you know, you dial that in with a live sound.
Yeah, you're going to adjust how much brightness you want out of this pedal based on, whatever inherent brightness you have.
Yeah, you're gonna do what it takes to jump out of the mix. Let's hear it on the with the tone at noon and the gain at noon on the neck pickup real quick. Yeah, I think that's great. I have no problems with this pedal. I think it looks good. It's a good pedal if you want to have a Quan on your board without people immediately thinking you have a Quan on a board.
Right.
You know, because it's got this really cool graphic of the cow. People are going to be like, oh, what is that? Kind of has a Quan thing, but I'm not sure because it's not...
It's
a picture of a mythological creature.
Right.
Or someone shooting an arrow or something, you know. So, yeah, totally look out for this pedal. I think it's great. I'm going to be using it as my go-to Quan pedal when we do demos and we need that sound. Because why not? This thing sounds awesome. And it looks great. Totally stoked to have this on my board.
Yeah.
Is there anything we want to do like a little mini topic off of? Or do we want to wrap it up?
No.
We're at 55 minutes.
Let's just wrap it up.
Okay, I'm going to have to do some serious editing on that.
Nah, whatever.
I'll clean it up and make it sound good for the demo.
All right. Oh, yeah, you're going to have to edit it for the video.
Yeah, that's sure. What I'm saying. I'll leave it as it is for the podcast, but for the video, I'm going to need to cut it up a little bit.
Gross.
Let's talk about the song.
Yeah, this song was sent to us by the Ad Wizard, Co Schneider. This was from, I think, his first band, called Penguin Patrol. This song is called Penguins on Patrol. This is definitely the kind of song I would have made in high school.
Oh, totally. This is this kind of song we all made in high school, right?
Yeah, it can't decide if it wants to be punk or ska or hardcore. So it just decided to be all three.
The democracy of a high school band, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But it's kind of, it was a fun listen.
Yeah.
I got a kick out of it just because of the memories of being in that mental state.
I definitely wasn't making recordings like this when I was in high school.
I wish I was.
Yeah, I was nowhere near this. So yes, completely impressive.
All right.
When you can, all things considered.
Yeah.
And it's a fun song.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded fun to me.
Yep.
What was that sound for?
No. Uh-huh.
Yeah. You made a sound and made a weird face, Steve. Okay. Well, I've been Ryan Burke.
And I've been Steve Rao.
And you've been listening to 60 Cycle Hum, the guitar podcast. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Best no black and white. New style, old style, out of sight. Trolling while walking around. Watch your back, they'll knock you down. When your friends are out of control, here's a suggestion, who you call? The one and only thing control. They'll now, stop it all. Don't ever mess with the baby. Isn't it kind of creepy? Can we run around? Taking people down. When they come for me, I won't mistake. Cause I know they'll soon come again. If you think they'll never take it, they will take it. They'll stay to take it. When your friends are out of control, you suggest them to call the one and only. Stop it all. Don't ever mess with the baby. Isn't it kind of creepy? Penguins walking down, taking people down. Your breath.
Oh, yeah.